Well, let's pray together before we look at that verse from those verses from Joshua chapter 1. Lord God, would we have open minds and hearts as we look back at how you spoke to Joshua, and now expect by your Spirit and by your word to hear from you today. Amen. Well, if you're using sat-nav when driving, I guess you trust what you are being told. But we know stories either from personal experience or from those stories recounted with a resigned sigh that that isn't always wise. Once late at night, attempting to reach the apartment we were going to be staying in, Kate and I found ourselves guided down a couple of very narrow one-way streets in the middle of a Spanish village, ending up on a pedestrianized street with bollards blocking the way to where we could just see where we wanted to get to. Our question today is, will you trust God's guidance? As God spoke to Joshua, and as we believe he speaks to us, will you trust God's guidance? We've seen in this series how Moses has led the people out of Egypt towards the promised land, and it's now up to Joshua to lead them across the river, to be a man of strength and courage. So the Lord speaks to him. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? There are three ways in which Joshua needs to be strong and courageous, and it doesn't take too much to see how they might help us to learn to live today in the light of God's promises. So firstly, from verse 6, strength and courage for leadership. It is for a purpose that Joshua is trained and serves under Moses. He's been involved and experienced the presence of God. He is to lead the people into the promised land, to lead them in battle, and to coordinate their settling in to the land. Now, that was not going to be an easy task. The people haven't exactly treated Moses well for the last 40 years. They have complained, they have mumbled, they have sometimes deliberately disobeyed God's will. Look at verse 2 of Joshua 1. Joshua is going to lead the people across the river. The land's going to be given them by God, but it will be done through battle. It will not be easy. We read in verse 5 that no one will be able to stand against them, but there is still a fight coming. The Lord has prepared the way, prepared the outcome, but there is effort to get there. Winston Churchill once said, to create great armies is one thing, to lead them is another. And that is the task that Joshua is given. He needs to be strong and courageous to lead the people to the future that God has prepared for them. For us, we might not be leaders of nations, but I think there are ways in which we can learn from this first, be strong and courageous to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. We need to recognize the places where we are leaders. Perhaps in your family, perhaps your workplace, or a particular group. Or if you have children, praying for them, speaking to them and guiding them in the ways of truth and faith. Because if faith in Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, then we need to live in a way that reflects that. So for us, what is the area of our lives that needs to change? Where do we need some strength, some courage to face the future? Bearing in mind that the call to Joshua to have strength and courage was for when Joshua and the people were walking in the will of God. What do you need strength and courage to face that will help your journey of faith, help your discipleship? The people of Israel needed strength and courage to follow God's will, and we need strength and courage to do that, to become more and more like Jesus in the places he has called us to be. Then in verse 7, we see, as we've already seen, the importance of God's word, thinking about memorizing, knowing scripture. Joshua needs strength and courage to keep the foundations strong of the people. He's developed this under Moses' leadership. He's to obey the law of God. Now, you may think that obedience to rules is not a very popular concept today. I'm not saying anything about COVID restrictions or parties. I don't even have kids, and I know that obedience isn't always popular. But if you read the story of the people of Israel, you see that they struggled too. Their story is a constant battle against their own disobedience. They receive the law, God speaks to them, he shows them the way, and they are so easily distracted from keeping it. Remember here, the law is not some arbitrary system of keeping the people under control. It was God's outline of how to live best in his world, how to relate to one another, and how to relate to him. Joshua is not to turn either to the left or to the right. He is to keep to the correct path. Richard Buse, former rector of All Souls Langham Place, used to tell a story about this. He said, imagine you're at the edge of a large lake, and in the distance there are three different islands. They look quite different, and they're quite separate. You get into a boat, and as you do so, you notice that the middle island really is the only one that looks like it has some shade, and through your binoculars, you think you might glimpse some fruit trees. So as you're off on your expedition on the lake, that is the island you want to get to, not one of the others. But as you get in and begin to row and row and row, all is not well. For the little rudder that you thought was taking you in the right direction is ever so slightly off to the side. And as you row and row and row, you're actually going further away from the direction you wanted to. You are long off course. You thought you were heading to the central island, yet you've come to one close to one of the islands you didn't want to go to. It's then a lot of work to get back to the middle. American pastor Andy Stanley talks about this in his book, The Principle of the Path. He says, it's a rather straightforward concept, but one we often get wrong. We say things like, I'd really like my church to be like this, or I'd like my life to be like that. But we haven't set ourselves on the right path. We're actually going in the wrong direction. I wonder if you've ever heard anyone say, I just don't know how I ended up here or like this, whether that's in business or in relationships or whatever. Stanley says, the principle of the path is this. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. You can wish to be going in a particular direction, but if you're not on the path that leads there, you won't get there. If you say, I want my business to be well known for quality work, and then you employ lazy and incompetent people, then you'll be choosing the wrong path. If you say, I want a marriage with shared values and goals regarding faith, and then choose someone who doesn't share that, then you'll be going down the wrong path. For Joshua to get his direction right in Joshua chapter 1, he is right to keep close the words of God in verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. It's like the principle of the path. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. It isn't hard to see how this challenge and call to Joshua translates to us. We need to be strong and courageous in our trusting God's word, which does mean we need to know it. In our studying together of God's word, in our searching the scriptures together, we're to seek Jesus and his ways. Joshua is also called to be strong and courageous in order to succeed. Well, The Apprentice has started. More contestants convinced they have what it takes to succeed in business against the competition. But we know that part of the attraction of that program is only one of them's actually going to make it. We're going to hear the catchphrase, "You're fired," more than once, even if we don't watch the program. Success for all but one will be elusive. For Joshua, success is assured if he follows God's law, God's will. Success will come in the shape of victory over those living in the land, and prosperity will come from the land that is flowing with milk and honey. This is not necessarily talking about Joshua himself becoming very rich and wealthy. Rather, in obedience to Moses' gift, the law, and his teaching, it will lead to God's gift, which is the land he promised. The task ahead is not an easy one, and Joshua will need strength and courage on a daily basis in order to defeat the Canaanites. There will be times when God asks him to do things that really don't make sense. He'll need to work out whether he trusts God's guidance. But as we read, we see that success does come to Joshua, and he keeps in the front of his mind that law of Moses, the promise of God. That success will look good in human terms, but the real measure of its success and its future will be what God thinks. We know that the people won't stay in the land forever as they take their focus away from God's word and following God's promises and instead rebel against him again. They'll be taken away from this land which he gives them. They will be exiles. But before we excuse ourselves and explain to God that we can't be strong and courageous like Joshua, thank you, because we're not as good, as holy as him, notice that the story of Joshua is not just about someone who is strong, powerful, charismatic, but it's the story of someone who God was with. Look at the end of verse 9. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua's trust in God in the first place, Joshua's knowledge of the presence of God with him each and every day is what makes the difference. For us today, we have to follow Jesus. He is the one who has made successful relationship with God possible. His death and resurrection have triumphed over evil and have opened us up the gate of heaven. We need to work on following Christ and obeying his word for our lives, that we will see the good news of God's rescue. His rescue from hell, and we need to share that with a world that desperately needs it. As we think about this story of Joshua, that call in this chapter to him to be strong and courageous, where do we hear God saying to us, where can you be strong and courageous, walking in God's ways, making a difference for him in the places that he has called you to? And how will that lead you to encourage others to find their hope and their promised land in God's promise? So are you ready with the people to cross the river? The people had to trust in Joshua as he followed the Lord and as no one could stand against him. Are you following Christ, who has conquered sin and death and makes a way for us to cross the river into the new heaven and new earth? Will you trust God's guidance in every area of your life? Let's pray. Lord God, you spoke to Joshua. You called him to be strong and courageous. Help us to know your ways, to know your word, to know your promise, and to know our purpose in you, that we might be strong and courageous, not trusting in ourselves, but in the goodness and the power of the Holy Spirit. And help us to make a difference in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.